I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Spy's Soap Scoop podcast. This is the first ever episode. Every Friday, we'll be chatting with some of our favourite people from the world of soaps before we break down the biggest goings-on and spoilers in EastEnders, Emmerdale, Coronation Street and Hollyoaks. I'm Ali. I'm social editor at Digital Spy, and my co-host with me is Sophie.
Hi, yes, I am the deputy soaps editor at Digital Spy.
Very exciting. Sophie, I'm so glad we're doing this. I can't believe it's kind of like finally happening after, you know, so much prep and so much kind of, you know, time. I'm really excited to share with everyone what we've been up to.
Yeah, really excited. I feel like it's been a long time coming and we've had some really great chats. And that, yeah, like you say, I can't wait to share it and for everyone to hear them.
Speaking of sharing them, so the first episode, which you're listening to now, our guest was Rob Mallard, who plays Daniel Osborne in Coronation Street, a.k.a. Ken Barlow's son. And we had a really great chat about Sinead and, yeah, a number of things.
Yeah, Sinead and the impact of that story last year and the sort of the Daniel and Nikki ongoing saga and what the future holds for him, really. He had some good thoughts on that, didn't he?
Yeah, we managed to pick his brain, I think. Obviously, we're kind of limited in what we can say about, like, you know, the future of the character and storylines. But I think we got some good juicy tidbits about, him and Nikki and kind of what he wants to see Daniel do in the future. So without further ado, enjoy. Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
No worries. So I think to get started, the questions that everyone wants to know and things we really want to talk to you about are obviously about kind of Nikki and Daniel's relationship and where things are going. So it'd be great if we could get your read on kind of how you describe Nikki and Daniel's relationship at the moment.
Well, it's not healthy, obviously. It's obviously she was a substitute. She was an unlikely substitute. He didn't go out. It wasn't his idea, for example, to go out and try and replace what he lost from Sinead. It was all to do with circumstance. So they met each other at a lawyer's do that Adam dragged Daniel to. And initially, I believe it would have been just the likeness that caught his attention. Similar height, similar hair colour, you know, cheery, bubbly, and that would have attracted him. And then finding what she did led them into the situation that they're in now. It can't go on. It's not healthy at all for either of them. And I think you see this in especially scenes that we've done where Daniel's trying to date her almost. Mm. And so she comes around thinking, it's like having a friend with benefits who doesn't understand that it's not going anywhere else. And Daniel's got his head buried and he's going, no, it'd be fine if I caught her, then how can she resist? Is what he's thinking. But she does literally see him as a client at first. Yeah. That has shifted now. It has begun to shift because she's she doesn't need rescuing, and that's definitely a route that Corrie are taking. He's not white knighting. She's rescuing him. It's reversed. It's not a white knight complex that's going on here. She's rescued him and got no thanks for it from any of the Barlows, obviously. But I think it's because the two of them being in it, even though they can feel that it's weird, it's better than the alternative. It's almost like the lesser of two evils, at least for Daniel anyway, that even though he knows that this isn't sustainable and it isn't, like I said, healthy, it's better than being by himself.
Do you think that kind of, as their relationship like changes and becomes some, kind of sort of this different, very new thing, do you think that his main draw to her is still to do with the fact that she resembles Sinead in these ways? Or do you think he's kind of becoming more attracted to her or more drawn to her as a kind of an individual, as a person that she is?
I think he's becoming more attracted to who she is. Because in many ways, what he was trying to recap in the last year of Sinead's life, because of all the chemotherapy and the radiotherapy, there are certain restrictions. He's like, you're not allowed to share a bed with someone who's had radiotherapy because it's the radioactive.
Wow.
So me and Katie worked this out, that in terms of Daniel and Sinead's sort of sex life over the last year and a half, it had been almost non-existent. It wasn't a sexual relationship. Yeah. It was a deep connection. It wasn't sexualized. It wasn't typically quite a soap. You know what I mean? They weren't a hot couple.
Yeah.
Whereas with Nikki, she has all of that. She has in space. She's healthy and vivacious, and can put him on the back foot. And I think after having such a long time in that situation that they were in because of the cancer, now that he's getting a taste of something different, he's realizing actually it can be something else. And that's why I think he's changing his perspective. He doesn't look at her as a Sinead substitute. He now sees her as actually a different viable opportunity for the future. But I think it is because of that contrast that Sinead died in bed, very frail, and he's now with this girl that's just full of life, completely full of life. So I think he's attracted to that after being around so much death.
Yeah.
It's very clever though, isn't it? I mean, we're nearly a year on since Sinead died, and we're still seeing the repercussions of that, which is really good, because like that reflects real life. But often in soaps, time moves very quickly, and you don't often get to play it out in real time. So in terms of Nikki and Daniel, do you think that they make a good match, or do you think Daniel just needs to be single and have time to grieve?
Yeah, like I think initially they do. They have chemistry. They fizz together, but they might need to come back to each other at a different point in their lives when they're both in a better place. Do you know what I mean? It's quite the wrong time. Yes, exactly. It's a little bit like building your house on foundation of sand. You know, they're both in very precarious, her case, dangerous situation. You know, putting yourself in those situations, you don't know who you're meeting. You don't know who might turn violent after, you know, they ask for this thing from you and you say, oh, I don't do that. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of danger involved in it. So I think as two characters working together, they do. But if you were to ask me whether or not I thought that they should get married and she should adopt Bertie, I'd say hang fire.
So if you were Daniel's friend, would you tell him to steer clear for the time being?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can understand why he's doing it. A single dad, he's only 25. All of this is unhealthy for someone of his age. He should be at the point where he's making career moves, where he's making connections with people. He should be out there doing things, and he can't be because he's got a son, and he needs to put him first. So you can see why he's doing that, why he's doing what he's doing. It's exciting. It's a bit of fun, and it's being condemned as well by everyone that he knows. So there's that element of doing what you're not supposed to it. All of that's fun.
What kind of reaction have you had from fans, especially like during some of the darker scenes where he was sort of asking Nikki to put on Sinead's clothes and things like that?
Oh, it's, well, the natural and obvious response is people saying, this is weird. But that's what we wanted. However, I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter directed at me that was saying, even though it's uncomfortable to watch, I'm glad Corrie are doing this. I'm glad that they're showing the way that people deal with, different ways people deal with their grief. Because like you said earlier, yeah, soap time moves really, really quickly. And characters do kind of have like a reset in them where if they didn't kind of go back to a factory setting, there'd be no way that that character could kind of continue to live on the street. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, like Sophie said, because we kind of have this, everything's like hyper fast and soaps sometimes. Do you feel like you're glad that like Daniel's grief's kind of been given the space to be explored? Because obviously it's such an important kind of story to dig into.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And that was, I mean, I don't have any power in the decision-making process, but I did say to the people who do, I said, please, can we not just have him suddenly get over it?
The way he's explored it isn't these like different kind of out there ways, but everyone grieves differently, right?
Yeah, but I don't. When the storyline was pitched, they said I was told that it had not been done before. This angle of this storyline had not been done before. Obviously, there's been things with people working in the sex industry, but in terms of combining someone's grief with that storyline, it hadn't been done before. So, especially in a soap that's been going for 60 years, if you're able to cut into new ground, that's always going to be a good. But yeah, like on Twitter, people are saying it's uncomfortable to watch, but I'm glad that Corrie are doing it. I'm glad that they're showing the way that people deal with grief. From an acting perspective, obviously that continuity of story has been brilliant, because it gives you it anchors you in the show, and you know where you're coming from. I would think though that it couldn't go on much longer, that they would have to start doing other things with Daniel, because in the same way that the soap moves quite quickly in time, I think the audience is accustomed to that, and that only so much of an extended storyline about something, about grief, for example, it might start to become a bit too much. So I think, you know, soon enough we will see a shift in where Daniel's going.
I guess just to like we kind of talked around it slightly when we talk about Daniel's grief and stuff. I think obviously the impact of Sinead's story was kind of massive. Is that something you were kind of proud to be part of?
I was so surprised. The whole thing caught both of us, me and Katie, by surprise. Other people seemed to know that it was going to have that kind of an impact, but me and Katie didn't at all, because I mean, we thought it'd be a good watch. We hoped it'd be a good watch. Do you know what I mean? Not in a callous way, but you know, in that people would watch it and think and be moved by it.
Yeah.
Did not expect the reaction that it got at all. It was like suddenly being at the center of attention. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And especially considering the fact that it wasn't just about the person who died. The story was really well balanced, I thought, between what happened to Daniel and what happened to Sinead. And in those last couple of episodes that Mike Lacey directed, who's absolutely fantastic. Well, actually, I couldn't work out whether I didn't like him at the time, because he was pushing us he was pushing us really hard. I said, I can't work out whether you're a good director or a bad director. He's a very good director. He set it up. I mean, Daniel was whilst Katie's job was to shut down, was to get stiller and stiller and stiller, which she was amazing. Do you know what I mean? She literally did. It wasn't hard to get upset, because she literally was shutting down in front of me. Whereas Daniel's story was all over the place. I was having panic attacks and getting carrots thrown at me by Beth. I was having going off into the night, getting drunk, nearly falling into a canal. Do you know what I mean? He was going all over the place. So kissing Bethany. Yeah, no, I'm never gonna. No one's ever gonna forget that. the way that though, and then it cut back to just Sinead still in the. Do you know what I mean? It was so well balanced that I think that a lot of it had to do with the entire production of it. It wasn't just that Katie was particularly good or I was particularly good. It was a combination of factors. Ellen Taylor's scripts, Mike Lacey directing, me and Katie, and then it just happened, and it was massive. Yeah, it was massive. And the best thing about it, without a doubt, I mean, all the praise is lovely, obviously. I mean, that's why actors do this. Any actor that tells you that they're doing this for other reasons is lying to you straight away. But it was the number, I believe it's called the Goody Effect.
Yeah.
And the number of girls that were going getting their smears and going getting themselves checked suddenly went up. Wow. And Katie was getting messages on Instagram. She's much more accessible online. I keep quite a low profile, but she was getting loads of messages off girls saying, I watched your story, went and got a check, and they found precancerous cells.
Wow.
So there are actually girls whose lives have been saved as a result of this, and that's better than any BAFTA nomination, better than any, I mean, they're great too, but you know, that's the real reward. That's when a show like this has, because it has not only a huge impact on society and on what cultural norms are, but it also has a huge responsibility to them as well. And I think I'm just proud of the fact that I was involved in one of those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's one of those stories that people will always remember. It's really, really hard to.
Because I remember when Alma died. She died. It was very, very similar. She died. I think it might have even been cervical cancer, actually, as well. And I can still remember that. I can still remember Mike Baldwin around. And I must have been, seven or eight, something like that. Yeah, I can still remember that. It has a huge impact. Corey, I mean, look at Coronation Street introduces Hayley, and look at the huge attitude shift in towards transgenderism. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it was all down to that, but I'm saying, I think it was 17 years ago that Hayley was first brought into the show.
Yeah.
Look at the difference.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's a huge responsibility. And
I think the scale of the show is right. Have this means that because it's like the responsibility comes with that scale. Like if you're reaching into, you know, millions of people's homes every night, like just by virtue of what you kind of have, this responsibility comes with that, and you end up not just mirroring what's happening, but trying to like push those things forward, you know, because like for those like trans people in 2003 that are watching Coronation Street every day, to suddenly see that character on screen, it like it has value in all these different ways.
Yeah, and it's a process of normalization. I'm gay and I've got nieces and nephews, and I've not brought them up explaining what that is. They've just seen me. They just sort of see, oh, you're with a guy. You know what I mean? It works like that. So one of the best ways to get someone to change their opinion on gay people is to introduce them to a gay person.
Yeah. Well, that was we're slightly off topic right now, but that was the Harvey Milk's whole thing in the 60s and 70s was like, you know, like get people to understand that like you know a gay person, like even if you don't know you do, you absolutely do, and kind of like realizing that there are people in your circle right now that like need your love and support is powerful.
Yeah, and that's what like we were saying about the Hayley character. You put something that people might not feel comfortable with on the surface into their living rooms at tea time. Or at bath time, or kid time, or whatever it is that they're doing. Yeah. And I know, when people come up to us in the street, they're very, very familiar. They'll just, even with social distancing, some of them will come up, they'll put their arm around you, they'll be like, hey, I saw you last night, do you know what I mean? And it's because of the time of day that they see you. If you're a film actor or a theatre actor, it's different because people leave the house, they find a parking spot, they go in, they get a ticket, they sit down, the lights go off, and then they experience whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. So there's a distance. So they don't approach you in that way. But if you work on a soap and you are literally in people's living rooms at the most intimate family time, and all the furniture in their house is pointed at this box with your face on it, it's hard to underestimate the impact. And I certainly, there was no way you could prepare anyone for it. Like I was in the show for about 3 months and nothing, didn't get any notice, and then suddenly bang, couldn't go anywhere without, and that's just got more and more and more, like obviously with the Sinead storyline, people just, I mean, I was out the other day and I was out on the street and I was just texting someone, and this girl walked past and she went, hey, good actor. You know what I mean? And you go,
I At least she was nice.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Or like people will just come past and go, "Oh, that was so sad." So it's hard to comprehend. And I don't think anyone really can. I think when you're in it, like you're saying about the impact of the storyline, the only things that we can really understand from that are like the messages that I say Katie got, where she says a girl got in touch and said that she found precancerous cells, and that's the only way that we can measure it, because we're not watching it, we're in it.
Yeah, makes sense.
That might have been a bit of a long-winded way of explaining that.
No, it's great. Are you, speaking of Katie, are you still in touch with her? Because obviously you went through that massive storyline. It must bond you for life.
Yeah.
In some ways.
But I don't feel bad about saying this now, because I take the mick out of it for it all the time. She didn't warm to me, shall we put it that way, when I first went. And I think I was too over familiar with her. But once we did click, once she realised that I wasn't an absolute tool, well, we got that click moment, yeah. And then we've been mates like that ever since. Yeah, I do. I saw her last at the BAFTA for the BAFTA thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Which was interesting, socially distanced. And I got whiplash at her birthday this year.
Oh, wow. Dare I ask
fell over. Yeah, you can. I'd not had a drink. It was completely sober. We'd gone up to this sort of log cabin chalet thing, and there was a hot tub that had to be kept warm by log burner. So my job was to keep an eye on the log burner. It was drizzling a little bit, but I was in holiday mode, so I had just a pair of flip-flops and swimming trunks on, carrying all these logs, slipped on a little bit of wet grass. Logs went one way, I went the other. Voice in my head said, "This is going to hurt."
Yeah.
And then I came down, bang, smack on the ground. And that was right at the beginning of the weekend, so I just had to drink through it.
That's the only way sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just drink through it. Finally, because I think we're about to wrap up.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a fairly difficult question to answer, but what do you think the future looks like for Daniel in the long term?
Really interesting dad, I think. That's what I would like to see them look at, because, I mean, although at the minute we're not, because of COVID restrictions, certain cast members are not back. So Bertie being one of them, even though I have got little videos off his mum on Twitter every now and again in a cat.
Oh, he's so cute.
He's so cute, and he's walking around, running around and gabbling about and kissing mirrors and licking windows. he's just cute. But I think that's going to be a because it's interesting to work with him as well, because he's so responsive. Mm. He listens to you in the scene and he responds back to you. So I want to see that go forward. I want to know what he's like as a dad, because he was so critical of Ken.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's going to be interesting to see if he follows in the Barlow footsteps. That's obviously long term.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And a love interest, because he's an old romantic at heart. So that the fool. So, finding someone that he could make that nest with would be his priority. Short term, I think it'd be nice to see, because Daniel is a journalist, or is training to be a journalist. I think we should see him do some journalistic exploits, like see him going out into the world and covering, you know, something that he gets obsessed over. Yeah. Because he did it sort of with Phelan, and then, do you know what I mean? Like, he wrote the thing about the bistro shooting, and maybe now, because he's working in the lawyers, the solicitor's firm, only as a dog's body, but, you know, sort of into that solving crimes and Scooby-Doo type thing. Do you know what I mean?
That'd be good. Yeah,
I think we're biased, but like, obviously I love a good like newsroom drama. So any sort of like twinge of that would be appreciated.
Yeah, it'd be really good. I bet there's loads of stuff from Ken's backlog of stories that could be rewritten to suit Daniel.
Interesting. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, that is all we've got time for today. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. And we'll see you soon. Likewise.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Great. So that was our first interview with Rob. Really excited to hear what he kind of sees in the future for Daniel, and kind of get a glimpse of what might be happening on the street. Speaking of what might be happening on the street, this is the part of the podcast where we're going to transition into our spoilers. So after every interview, we'll kind of break down the biggest spoilers for the week ahead for Corrie, Emmerdale, EastEnders and Hollyoaks. This week, that means we'll be covering kind of the main story beats episodes that will air from the 21st and the 25th of September. So I think it makes sense for us to kick off with Coronation Street and probably Daniel in general. What do you think, Soph?
Yep, definitely. He's got a big week, as you've just heard. Lots going on with him and Nikki. Will they, won't they? There's a few things that you might not expect, a few things that we haven't discussed. But yeah, I'd keep an eye on that one. I think it's a difficult one, isn't it, as he just said?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think we'll see. So from what we know about next week's episode, there's going to be more than a few people that are kind of like raising an eyebrow about, you know, who Nikki is and what his relationship with her means. I know we've got some stuff coming up with Kirk is going to be kind of questioning what's happening there. So yeah, exciting. And I think the other big Daniel storyline that people are going to be excited about is that we're finally getting some sort of confrontation with Jeff, who everybody in their right mind absolutely hates. I'm excited to see kind of what those interactions look like.
Definitely. Yeah, we didn't actually get onto that with Rob. There was just too much to discuss, wasn't there? But there is there's a few sinister Jeff and Daniel scenes. As we all know, Jeff is not someone that you'd want to cross.
Yeah, I think from what we've seen, it looks like there'll be some sort of kind of confrontation interaction at the solicitor's office at some point in the first half of next week, where Daniel's not generally just not happy with the way that Jeff treats people and treats kind of sex workers and stuff and women that we've seen, obviously, earlier in the storyline. Really excited to see how that plays out. And obviously, Rob's a great actor, and we can't wait to see kind of how he bounces off.
Another big story to watch out for is the ongoing Abby, Peter and Carla saga. I know, sorry, Peter and Carla fans, there are more obstacles on the way.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think, again, it's kind of a classic Coronation Street setup, where I think next week we'll see a kind of number of conversations happening in back alleys and people getting kind of confused about what's happening. It appears that Abby is going to be having kind of like what appear to be shady conversations with Peter, and obviously as she deals with her own sobriety issues. And then obviously it looks like Debbie is going to get involved and kind of get suspicious about what she thinks is happening there.
Yeah, so Abby, as we know, is harbouring... She had feelings for Peter sort of earlier in the year. They've sort of reignited over the last few weeks. She is, I think, because they've both battled addiction problems in the past, I think she's growing closer to him again. Carla has warned Peter not to get too close to her, because it's probably not the best thing for her recovery, but also his either. But unfortunately, Abby does make a pass at Peter. He stays faithful to Carla, so there's nothing to worry about there. But yeah, like you say, there's a lot of other sort of Chinese whispers. Yeah, she tells exactly. Debbie. Debbie tells Kevin.
Kevin.
Yeah, and poor Carla is ending up feeling like Peter's potentially losing interest in her now that she's back on an even keel following her breakdown last year. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. The good news is, though, that we do know that there won't be an affair for Abby and Peter that has been ruled out. So
good. I think there'll be a lot of that. I mean, I can already hear them now, but I can, you know, the Carla fans on Twitter are kind of screaming now that, like, you know, just give her a good time and, you know, give her a break. Fingers crossed that all goes smoothly. But yeah, we're excited to see what the next week looks like on the cobbles.
Yep, definitely. So shall we jump into EastEnders next?
Yeah, that sounds like,
a big week. Let's do that. For EastEnders. Yeah. So that's, is unsurprisingly going to be a difficult watch. As we know, Chantel is going to be killed by Grey. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to watch, especially as in the aftermath, it's not immediately clear what everyone else will know. Yeah. But to everyone else, it's not immediately clear what actually happened. Grey is questioned by the police. But to Mitch and Karen and everyone else on the square, there's going to be a lot of sort of whispers, speculation as to what actually happened to her.
Yeah, I think it's, I think lots of people, you know, the eyes of kind of Soaps fans everywhere are on this storyline for good reason, especially post-lockdown, especially kind of, you know, unfortunately we know that, like, cases of domestic abuse and these issues have been heightened by the situations that we've all faced this year. And so more than ever, it's, you know, a supremely important story that EastEnders are tackling, and, you know, we can only hope that they tackle it as well as we'd expect them to. I think part of what's made it so tragic for EastEnders fans is kind of like, it's been what, you know, we've watched it unfold for 12 months, 18 months, seeing Chantel go through the process, and then, you know, just it seems so drastically unfair that this has happened to her. So, you know, I think lots of people, myself included, will be eager to see Grey, you know, get his comeuppance at some point.
I think it's a very brave and bold move from EastEnders, because, like you say, in lockdown, domestic abuse cases, there was a really, really huge spike.
Yeah.
I think showing another side to this really, really devastating issue is really important, but equally really, really hard to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, hopefully next week, I think next week we know that, like you said, that the kind of Karen, Mitch and everyone will start to work out, start to kind of piece together what happened, and we'll kind of see some more interactions between Kira and Grey. As we know, because of how he's kind of got more involved in their relationship. And it seems like, I mean, it's so early in the storyline to know what this means, but it looks like Grey gets a visit from the police at the end of the week. And, you know, we've seen some photos of him looking not very happy in a police station. So fingers crossed we'll head for a speedy resolution. But as Soaps fans know, I don't think that's necessarily on the cards.
I think there's going to be some more twists, especially at the end of next week, involving Grey. So I think it's going to be a difficult watch, but a really, really important story to be seeing.
Definitely. And the two other big things coming to EastEnders and slightly lighter notes are Stacey is coming back.
Yay!
Lacey Turner is returning to the square, much to everyone's kind of excitement. Obviously, she's been gone for just over a year. As Lacey was kind of having her child.
She had a baby,
Which is really, so it's really exciting to see her back. And obviously so much has happened since she's been gone. And I think lots of the stuff that we'll see next week with Stacey coming back will be around her reconnecting with Martin, trying to work out what happened there, as he kind of comes forward about, you know, his relationship with Ruby.
Yep, he's moved on.
Yeah.
Not ideal, really, is it? Your ex-wife's best friend.
Yeah, exactly. And we're also seeing, I think, some conversations between Stacey and Kat, where she's kind of worried about what Jean's situation is. And obviously, it's been a pretty rough year if you're a Jean fan, if you've been watching what's going on there. I think it'll be interesting to see what EastEnders does with Stacey and how they try and kind of reintegrate her back into the square.
Yeah, definitely. Poor Jean's been through so much as well. It'll be lovely for her really to have Stacey back. Yeah. But I think the all important question is really, what is Martin going to do? Is he going to stick with Ruby, or will his feelings for Stacey get the better of him?
It's a weird one. I think we were watching an episode a few nights ago, and I was trying to talk to my boyfriend about what we thought. Like, it's a weird. We understand why Stacey left, obviously, But it's still a bit of a strange...
Oh, it's so confusing, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know who knows what on who did what. Yeah, I think there was a whole saga with Phil. Yeah, but
yeah.
So Stacey attacked Phil, but he thought he was Kat. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's best to just sort of wipe that out of our memories and just move forward.
I think you're right. So we're excited to see what happens there. And then I would be remiss if we didn't mention the last thing that I've got my eye on, EastEnders, which will be the next step in the Balham saga, which looks like... Callum's going to have some kind of frosty interactions with Phil it looks like, Ben gets in more trouble with the police, as he's wont to do near the end of the week.
Once again, yep.
Yeah, yep. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think Balham fans, you included, Ali, I know you are one of them.
I think
there's a tough few weeks ahead. I think it's one of those things with Callum, he wants... to make it work in the police force, but obviously he is with Ben, and the two just don't really go together, do they?
It felt like it was doomed from the start, to be honest with you. As soon as that storyline came up for Callum, where it's like, oh, he's going to join the police, it's just, you can't be in a relationship with a Mitchell, and also it just feels like a big red flag. So excited to see what this step means for them. We just want them to like have a normal, happy couple of months, but I don't think that's what the EastEnders writers have in mind.
Not likely, is it really? But it's a case of where do his loyalties lie? Does he want to be a great policeman, or does he want to have a lovely, happy life with Ben?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he can have both, can he?
Not with a Mitchell, no.
No, sadly not.
Speaking of ships and relationships that people care deeply about, let's talk about Emmerdale and lots of things that are happening there. We will talk about Rob Ron, but I think maybe we could start with talking about what the plan, what's things finally might be coming, Jamie's kind of get what's coming to him, it seems like, next week in Emmerdale.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the start of Jamie's downfall, really. There's obviously, we know that he was involved in the hit and run with Moira, Belle and Andrea know, but they sort of... Andrea tells Moira that Jamie was responsible.
Yeah.
And then him and Belle sort of unwittingly lead Kane to the lake where all the evidence is.
It's an interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see, because obviously we've seen kind of Jamie manipulate Andrea, repeatedly. And he's kind of so smug and so kind of chuffed that he's going to get away with it. I think it's going to be great to see that kind of not work out for him in some ways.
Yeah, I think we've also been promised a big twist in the Jamie and Belle story over the next few weeks. I don't think everything is quite as it seems.
No.
So all I would not want to say.
Yeah, and I would not want to be Jamie, facing off with Kane Dingle with a bat. That does not seem like a good place to be.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
No. But on slightly lighter, depending on where your loyalties lie. We've got Aaron's new love interest, Ben. Yeah, so I think the poor actor, Simon, he is great. Actually, I was in a Zoom chat with him the other day, but you're coming in, aren't you? And you already know there's going to be people who are immediately not happy that Aaron is seemingly moving on from Robert.
Yeah, I think it's so. Yeah, so the thing with skirting around here is that next week in Emmerdale, it looks like we're going to kind of get some time with a new potential love interest for Aaron Dingle. So all of the kind of like the Rob Ron mourning that's been going on for a few months looks like it might be coming to a close. I'm sure there are a mound of fans who are kind of, on one hand, hopefully excited to see what Emmerdale writers can do with this character and bring Aaron to some kind of new happiness, but also we know that people's loyalties lie with Rob Ron, so it's I do not envy the actor who's playing Ben.
It's very, very hard, isn't it? Because like with Rob Ron, you've been on this massive journey with them and you want to invest in them. You've been told to invest in them. All these stories have made you invest in them. And then suddenly one of the actors leave, which is inevitable in the soap world, in the television world. And then suddenly Aaron is moving on. But I think, I think people will be hopefully jump on board and want some happiness or just some more screen time for him. So
And I think and the storyline that's coming up with Aaron, it sounds quite interesting, to be honest with you. So he meets this guy Ben at the outdoor activity center. He works there, and they get set up on a date, and it turns out that Aaron went to school with Ben and used to like bully him for being gay. So it's and that kind of Ben remembers Aaron, and they kind of like, you know, have crossed words, and we'll hopefully what we'll see is Aaron kind of try and win Ben back by explaining, you know, this, I'm not that person anymore. And so there's, you know, some interesting character work hopefully we'll get to see there. And it's not kind of definitely. hopefully it's not, you know, an immediately easy journey, so that kind of from a viewer's point of view, we feel like there's something being earned between them.
Yeah, it's never easy with Aaron, is it, really? No. It's always complicated. But I think, yeah, he doesn't remember Ben at school, which is a bit bizarre, because I remember everyone I went to school with. Well, most of them anyway. But yeah, so
I'm the complete opposite. I feel like I have conversations with people where they're like, oh, do you remember, you know, in Mrs. Johnson's class, we had Mike. And I'm like, no, I have no idea who he is. 14, I have no concept of.
Oh, yeah, no, I tend to remember everyone I went to school with. But yeah, I guess some things you sort of block out or forget, or it just doesn't seem important to you at the time, whereas Ben remembers, obviously, understandably, everything that went on there. So yeah, that'll be a good one to keep an eye on.
Yep. I think the only other thing to talk about Emmerdale-wise is that we've got Paige Sandu is appearing as Manpreet's sister, and Mina. So yeah, we're really excited to see what she brings to the show. Yeah, and it's always nice when we get kind of like extended family, you know, characters appear. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be good. I think with Emmerdale next week, it really marks the start of a great autumn with lots of new characters, lots of new stories really taking off. And yeah I think Mina will cause some friction.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to compare to, you know, where we are with EastEnders, which is very much like we're at the culmination of some big summer stories and things that, you know, we've had to, that have probably been sped up just because of the nature of, you know, they've been off for so long. Whereas, yeah, like you say, Emmerdale, it feels like the book is opening up and we're kind of getting in at the start of a bunch of new things, which is always exciting.
Yeah. Leading to a very, hopefully, great Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Episode.
So I think that leads us to Hollyoaks.
Yes.
Quite a lot going on in Hollyoaks next week. I think let's start with the Perry and Juliet stuff, because so Juliet is smitten with Perry. I know it's so sweet, isn't it? We know that there's a lot more coming there thanks to the flash forward episode. We've got some more on that coming in a few episodes time, because we spoke to Ellis, who plays Tom, and he was giving us a few teasers. Yeah, so that is really, really taking off now, the Perry and Juliet. There's a lot more coming there. I think, so they've shared a kiss this week, and next week, Juliet is really keen to impress her, isn't she?
She's in this really interesting position, right, where we're all kind of like, in some ways, like really rooting for her and Perry. Because she's just like, it is completely smitten, but also everything else that's going on in Juliet's life is so chaotic and sad. And it's like, oh no, you know, we can't have a happy ending on both fronts, I don't think.
No, it's very sad. And like the two don't go together, really. It's a bit like the Ben and Callum saga all over again, because she's going to end up double crossing Victor by stealing money from the drug dealing they've been doing in order to fund, I think it's a dress for her date with Perry. So, I mean, that's just not good, does it? It just sounds, a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting. I think we spent, you know, most of the year talking about the County Lines storyline and how, you know, brilliantly it's been kind of like employed by Hollyoaks. But I think one of the really cool things about it is that we're seeing it intersect in this way with like loads of other storylines. So like seeing the impact of some of the County Line stuff and the kind of like Juliet's involvement in that intersect with like how people feel about her and Perry is really interesting. Yeah. It's just the knock-on effects it's having across the show is really cool.
Yeah, across the whole village, really. I think they're all going to get involved or have all been involved at one point in time. It's a great story. It's really, I mean, I didn't know much about County Lines until Hollyoaks started covering it. So it's been eye-opening for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other big news coming to Hollyoaks next week is that Liberty is having a baby girl.
Baby girl, yes. For Brody and Sienna. But they both, Brody, it couldn't have come at a worse time, really, because Brody and Sienna are both battling with personal issues of their own.
And this Buster stuff, right, in terms of how they, what the next step looks like there.
Yeah, so he's back, because that was actually filmed before the UK lockdown in March.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's had a really big, understandably, a really big impact on Brody. So he's struggling with that in the lead up to Liberty giving birth. And we also see Sienna, again, tempted by Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah, which isn't ideal, given that she's about to have a baby, but what can you do?
Yeah, it's a strange, I don't think many people are rooting for Sienna and Warren right now.
It's a weird one. They had their fans back in the day, but I think now Brody and Sienna, they're just solid and it seems very stable, and you just don't want her to risk her chance at happiness at last, do you?
Exactly. So yeah, I think we'll see that. We know we're going to see that kind of all come to a head when Liberty goes into labour at the bazaar near the end of the week. So yeah, we're excited to see kind of how these things play out and I think Hollyoaks is doing a really good job of combining their storylines and making everything kind of like fit together neatly before we head into, obviously they've been planning where we're going to get to by the end of the year, and yeah, very excited to see how that all plays out.
Definitely. It's going to be a good few months, I think.
Yes, it's going to be exciting across the board, across all of the sites we've just talked about. If you want to know more about anything we've talked about, remember that you can head over to digitalspy.com/soaps and get a full rundown, all the spoiler pictures you could want about all of those storylines and more. And we've only kind of picked out a few that we're really excited about, but there's a million things happening in Emmerdale, EastEnders, Corrie and Hollyoaks. And yeah, head over to digitalspy.com/soaps to get everything you need from there. On that note, this is the end of the first episode. We hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we'd enjoyed recording it. It was really exciting talking to Rob. I think we had some really good conversation there. So hopefully you found it as enlightening as we did. You can tune in every week to the show on Friday. The episode goes live at 8 a.m. So tune in next week for more. And like I said, head over to digitalspy.com/soaps for more news, interviews, spoilers, all that sort of stuff. And you can follow us on Twitter at digitalspy/soapscoop. Thanks very much for joining us, and we shall see you next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.